It's time for Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. Wisdom on Replay is brought to you by Levy Steel, the Candywood Wine Cellar, and Cafe 422. Here's your host, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
And we are back. And just like that, it's almost Christmas. I swore I just carved a pumpkin. And here we are again. My goodness. And don't tell me it's because I'm old, because even my kids are saying,
I would never say such a thing.
Time flies
behind
by.
Your back, but I'd never say it on here, Thomas.
No, time just flies when you're having fun.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's
okay. Because I was having no fun, if you remember, my appliances and issues, and it was still flying by.
Yep.
Welcome to Wisdom on Replay, Nostra Thomas, and Coach Divine.
Ooh, he finds a new, like every 2 weeks, he finds a new way.
He likes to switch it up.
But that's such a great name. Who wouldn't want to have Divine as your name? That's got to be a positive.
It does have some downsides as well. You get some snide remarks once in a while.
Divinity.
Are you a priest? No.
Okay. Nope.
Not a chance.
But you could. You know what? You have a very giving heart, though.
According to you. I don't know if all my clients. If all my clients would say that.
Well, Jim. Hey, first of all, I'm going to start off with some of our sponsors, Sherry's Boutique, who was really worried about my hair, even called me at home.
Quality control.
Oh wow, that's what you want your hairdresser to do.
It's excellent customer
service.
That
is great customer service. She had an idea hit her when I was at home. Master's Bar and Grill, right next door to the station. That's all I've got for you. Got the rest, but
we'll get the extensive. Yeah, we'll
after. But I want to say I am now 11-3-1 on my super picks here now. If you don't listen to anything else on the show, at least get that part of it in. And I'm going to give it to you now. All right.
Oh, so we're hitting it early today, Carl.
I've been riding that Denver train, and it just keeps winning.
All right. Let's hear it.
I'm going to go Green Bay minus a half a point at Chicago. I don't think the Chicago thing is going to just continue on and on. And if Kansas City can't beat Tennessee by more than 3, pack it in. And then I got Denver again, minus 3. I'm going with Denver again. Might as well ride them.
Go with the big kids.
All righty. Jimmy, we have a special young guest in the studio here. We have Carl here.
We have Carl. Carl's always a special
The kingpin. The king of all radio.
There it is. That's it. When we do the pictures, we're just going to put Carl, king of all radio.
Oh,
it's
no,
perfect.
No.
Carl on, the king.
Put a 94.7 tattoo on his forehead.
Yeah. Well, I like that. Carl the king.
There you go. Hey, today we're starting a new series. Obviously, you guys we've had some former big leaguers and adult people come in, former legends, everything like that. Today we brought in a young legend, great client of mine, been with me a long time since he was young, 6 years old.
Still probably young.
Probably one of the most decorated players that I've ever had, that I've ever had the ability to teach. Great student of the game, loves the game, very athletic family. We're going to talk a little about his story, about how he became such a good ball player, and not one, but really theoretically 3 scholarships, and his trek that sometimes when we always talk about people don't see what goes on behind the scenes for a player to get where they got to go. And this is one of the most inspiring stories. Kids in our building love him. He gets all red-faced when I tell him that the kids look at him like he's a superhero. by most standards, he is. Young man by the name of Gino Lazzari. Fantastic player.
I'm humble like that, too. You know,
Yeah, okay. You and him should teach a class. Welcome, Gino.
Welcome.
Very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. You know you're like family to me, and that's why we wanted to bring you on. Gino, tell us a little about yourself. Your youth league adventures down with Tommy Elder and Warren City. Tell us your history so that we can all our parents and players can relate to this story.
Yeah, I started playing baseball when I was 4 years old in the Lakeview Athletic League. Played all the way in the LAC until about 10 years old, where decided to play, got picked up by an all-star team under Tom Elder, won 3 state championships with him, with the city of Warren. It was unbelievable. Then went on, took my talents to Scene Park when I was 14, Well, technically 13, but when I was 14, played with the Astros.
Fake birth certificate.
That young, you could play for the...
Back then, you could.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got picked up when I was 13 by the Astros. Played with them when I was 13 and 14. Left the Astros to play for Coach Juice for when I was...
Tommy the Juice.
Yeah, when I was 15 and 16. And when I was 17 and 18, played for Britt Taylor for the Prospects. Well, I went to high school with two high schools. Freshman year, I was at Lakeview. Season got canceled to COVID, so didn't get to have a season. My sophomore year, I transferred to Newton Falls.
Tell them why you went to Newton Falls. That was a family thing.
Yeah, went to Newton Falls. My dad was the football coach there. He was
also the athletic director,
and it was never got to see me play football. And I really wanted to play for him. Both my brothers got to play for him, and I decided to follow him. Went to Newton Falls for 2 years, but that my first year in Newton Falls, I blew out my knee, so I missed my sophomore baseball season. Then junior year, I came back. It was my first high school season ever. Broke every record at Newton Falls other than the home run record.
Not only in Newton Falls, people.
Yeah, I broke a lot of records, but had a really good season. Didn't end up winning. Didn't end up going very far, but we had a good season. And then my senior year, decided to transfer back to Lakeview, play with the kids that I grew up playing the game with. Had a good year, won the district title, lost in the regional semis. But had a really awesome year. Committed to Akron out of high school. So went
Division One.
Went Division One. I got caught up in all that. Went Division One for a semester till I played baseball with a tail tucked between my legs. Lost all my confidence in myself and got my scholarship pulled all in the first semester of playing college baseball. What a welcoming experience that was. You spend your entire high school when you're playing baseball. It starts early if you want to get recruited. You spend all that time talking to all these schools, all these emails. It's a very long process. And then you finally get there, and you think you made it, and that's when really everything just starts. And we're
going to get on a little bit about we'll talk a little bit about his path. The first thing I want to ask you is, obviously, you came – Tommy and I and Carl, we talk about it every week. You came from environment. Your dad's been a huge part of athletics in Trumbull County. Played at Kennedy. Played in winning programs, became a great coach. God bless. He always took his talent and his time out to schools that needed it. He was at Newton Falls, I think, a couple of times trying to turn the program around. Did a pretty good job. Tell me a little bit about your brothers, because that is a lot of what has made you the athlete and the determination when we get into this story that it created for you to keep pushing.
So I'm the youngest of three. I have two older brothers, and my oldest brother was big dude,
big boy.
Yeah, real big boy. All of our brothers we're all built different. My oldest was really smart, wasn't blessed athletically, but had some size and had the biggest work ethic in the world, and that kind of started, that's where I got my work ethic from. And he
went on to play what at Coast Guard?
Yeah,
played football.
He went to the Coast Guard Academy.
He was more driven in his dad's line of work. He was a football kid. He wasn't a bad baseball player. He was just a big boy. He could play some baseball, but he was a big dude.
Yeah, he went to the Coast Guard Academy and had a wonderful time there. My middle brother was roll out of bed athletic, flat out could play, roll out of bed, throw 90, just flat out could do it. And he went to Notre Dame College. For baseball his freshman year, and his season got canceled to COVID, and he ended up hanging it up. But he was very talented, and I kind of saw when you have talent, where that can take you. So you got to combine that with the work ethic. I got that from my two older brothers.
Yeah, you had two opposite sides of the coin, because your oldest brother was a machine. You tell him something, he'd do it. Now your middle brother, God bless him, you'd say, hey, you need to go work on it. He'd look, you shake your head. He could make the adjustment in a minute or two, but over time it would catch up. It always does. But then I got lucky. I had all three at one point or another. Then I got the best of all worlds. I got Gino. And to tell you on my end of it, I've seen a lot of heroic things in the game. I've seen a lot of people do a lot of things. Let me give you, he's being very modest about his situation. He missed his freshman year to COVID. He tears his knee up playing basketball. And I mean, when you talk about tearing a knee up, he tore his everything in his knee gone. He shows up at my office over on North River Road in tears because he's just a machine. He worked hard at everything he did. He goes, Coach, what am I going to do? And I looked him straight in the face, and it was kind of like Rocky and Mickey. I go, here's what you're going to do. I said, because he was not, like, build-wise, there was still some, you know, there was still some great hitter.
Some developing.
Yeah, his body hadn't. And I was like, this gives you a year to do nothing but focus on what you're bad at. I said, so we're going to get in shape. We're going to get in. We're going to get nutrition going. And you're going to come out next year and be one of the best juniors in the state. And he didn't think about it, though. I said, look, you're in it. I go, what's high school baseball? What, 60 at bats in a season? What do you care? I said, summer ball? I said, okay, another 80 or 100. I said, you can change your whole career and your whole body type. You know, I took a very and I'd never done that before. I took a very alternative view with him. And God bless him, he came to me. He goes, okay, who do I call? Coach, who do I call? Who do I see? We put him with the best people, rehabs his knee. One of his downsides when he was younger, he was average speed. Turned it into a plus, runs like a deer now. And what he did was he took the time, changed his body, worked. I've seen people work, and I've seen pro guys work. I never saw anything like this. It was obsession. I have a video of him, a recruiting video. He was in our building on North River Road hitting off a high tee. And we had college coaches call us, and they go, did you loop that tape? Because he was hitting balls over shortstop, and he hit 17 in a row off the same spot. And they go, did you loop that? And I was like, nope. And they, boom. From there, away it went. Very modest. He had, in Trumbull County, I think he had the number one season ever. The only one I've ever known that was comparable. Lyle Huffman at Howland back in late 80s, early 90s. What'd you end up hitting?
619.
And that's legit 619. Dad's not keeping score. This is not daddy ball. He was up to like 672. 700, I think you were ranked one or two at the time. It didn't. Whoever was keeping the stats in the state, there was some kid that had like 12 at bats and they had him listed, and he was like 10 points ahead of him. He had a legitimate season doing that. And when you see a hitter go that long where they just didn't miss, and he didn't do it against hacks. He saw some guys. He saw a draft kid. Where's he at? A Middlefield?
Yeah.
Lit him up. And like I said, I was unbelievably proud of him. The funny thing was, it was an interesting recruiting thing because he went back after his junior year in New Falls. He went to Lakeview and gave himself up for the team a lot. Like, he didn't try to – not that he didn't do that at New Falls, but they had some other kids that could play. He came back, and they had a great team, great year at Lakeview his senior year. Did he have the same numbers? No, he had unbelievable numbers compared to every other high school kid around. But he, you know – hit into hit and runs and bunt and did some things. It wasn't just not there swinging. And if there was ever a testament, he should probably write a book. Because then we went through that. We had some schools here, schools there. Everybody wanted to get him on the cheap. A good friend of ours took over at Akron. He goes up and sees him. Done deal. Oh, this is great, awesome. Perfect guy. Love the kid. We're good. The coach he had at Akron that had signed on at Akron that gave him a scholarship, he had talked to Malone over in Canton, and then talked to Akron, and Akron won the day. And the coach lasted. There was some question behind the scenes about funding at Akron. And the guy took off before fall ball was over. So now Gina's in the wind. They bring in these new guys.
That's what happened to me.
And these new guys were, I never, when a guy gets to college, it's, look, you got a new boss now. I'm not your boss anymore. I can maybe help you with what they're trying to interpret to you. And these guys wanted a certain thing. And the thing that they wanted at what they were doing, you know, it still hasn't happened there. You know, somehow they're still there. And Gino got kind of the writing on the wall, and they wanted a certain thing. And luckily, he had great conversations with Tom Crank, who's a great guy, been coaching a long time, had some great programs at Malone. And he was all over Gino at first, and then he was disappointed. And then Gino called him and said, hey, coach, can I? And Gino brought him, and he came, and God bless, he opened his arms. Brought Gino back, and now we're going to get on to when you have that kind of stardom, then what's the grind? Injuries. Tell them, G.
Yeah.
Freshman year banged up.
Yeah, when you kind of go from you're the guy,
The guy? That don't even describe what you were, the guy.
You're a three-hole hitter, two-hole hitter. You're playing short every day. There's a big difference when you step on campus and you got a 25-year-old playing shortstop. That's an eye-opening experience. So I got some chances to play my freshman year and kind of got a welcoming of college baseball. Got my head kicked in a little bit. Couldn't hit water if I fell out of a boat. And, got my experience. And then sophomore year came around, and I thought, I've seen college pitching now. I know what it takes. Been through a season. I'm matured. I'm ready for this. And I went through the fall. I had earned a starting spot. And then right before our first season, or first series, I tore my meniscus. At practice, just running to first, I stepped on first base just like any other time and just tore my meniscus. So I ended up missing the first half of the season, and I was trying to rehab the knee injury while also coming back to play, and I decided to come back. I came back too early, just wasn't ready, and I didn't perform well again. So, and now I'm here. Went to an awesome opportunity to play with Kingsman Baseball down in South Carolina over the summer. Had an unbelievable summer, played some great defense, hit the ball, and all of a sudden, just freak play, got into a collision in the base path and tore my labrum and fractured a bunch of bones in my shoulder.
Oh my gosh.
So this August, I had a Ladder J procedure, which is a lengthy recovery. I just hit the four-month mark post-surgery a couple days ago. But, I mean, still going, getting stronger, weight room's going great, rehab's going great, just trying to get back to play.
Well, and the thing, and why we wanted to do this, was one, I wanted to validate his greatness, because as far as high school seasons and the history trauma, nobody, I knew of one kid that was close, and I don't know that he did what Gino did. Sometimes it's not all, unicorns and stars. And the thing that people have to understand is so many kids, when they get to that point, when they get thrown in the fire like that, your time's going to come. And the way the game changed, part of his thing when he went to Akron was the portal. He broadly mentioned it, was now you have schools bringing in 25, 26-year-olds that had been to a couple JCs and been here, been there, got a medical red shirt. There was a second baseman at Louisville last year. He was 26 years old. There's guys, Mike Trout, I think, had 6 years in the big leagues at 26 years old. But that's what college baseball has become. Gino hasn't run from it. And that's the thing is, you got to teach some follow-up. You got to teach them get after it. And he really loves the game. And that's when I want people to hear that. You don't see the background. You don't see Tom Brady being the seventh guy out of six guys at Michigan. You don't. But this is where people come back from and they forge their way. And he's definitely forging his way. Now, whether he's able to go this season or not, obviously he'll get a medical red shirt and if he's not, and they'll take it from there. But the stick-to-itiveness that's going to last all the way through life, the qualities and things like that, we've all had it. I tore my hamstring. I had the choice between being like a 35th-round pick or whatever. I went to work because I knew my body was already failing me in college. Tommy's had similar stories, coaching changes. Talk about Troy Aikman. He's at Oklahoma. He's fifth string quarterback. Goes to UCLA. He's first team All-American and a Hall of Famer. Yeah. You don't know and how many times have we look at Chape? You see guys, they hit the lottery and then all of a sudden the lottery goes away. And what has kept you going? Tommy, ask him something. I'll throw one. What's kept you going, G? That you keep fighting.
So, for a little while, I don't think I would have been able to answer that question, because I really didn't. And I'd be lying if I said that this entire time through...
You didn't question, yeah.
College, yeah. It's like, do I really want to keep doing this? And to play college baseball, if you want to do it, you can do it. There's so many places to go play. But to do it, you not only have to be talented, you have to be obsessed with baseball.
Because it becomes your job, your life.
Yep. Yeah, it's 9 to 5, probably longer because you got your classes and everything. It is a true commitment, and if you're not obsessed with baseball, and that's obsessed with all of it. You can't just be obsessed with, oh, I'm obsessed when I go 3 for 4 and hit 2 doubles. That I love playing baseball. That everyone does. But are you obsessed when you got to wake up at 6 a.m. and slide on tennis courts to focus on sliding because it's 10 degrees out and you can't go outside? You can see your breath in an indoor facility. Are you obsessed with it then? When you got 6 a.m. lift followed with a conditioning and then you got practice at 6 p.m. after you go through 3 classes. Are you obsessed then? And it's just been the constant, I love this game so much that I know when it's all said and done that I'll be able to say I gave everything to this game.
That's a big thing.
And that is a big deal, though, because I played with guys like Mark Sankowitz that Red Sox drafted him. He's the all-time home run leader at Ohio Wesleyan. He did not love the game. I actually had to go over and pick him up and remind him there was a game when he was playing with me. Now, me, it would set the tone for my entire week if I had a good game. Oh, everyone wants to be around me. Oh, yeah. If I had a bad game, I would be so depressed until the next game. And it was like part of my life. It was the biggest part of my life. Now, that was back when you didn't have a whole lot of other things to do. Nobody dreamed of playing soccer. That was like some pansy sport. We didn't even talk about soccer. Or we didn't have any video. I mean, we didn't have a lot of that stuff. So, I mean, as soon as I woke up, I was doing something baseball related. When everybody else was swimming, my dad was hitting ground balls off my forehead, telling me if I turn my head again, 10 more is coming my way. Now, it takes that, but you have to love it because you know it's going to make you better. And then from there, now getting hurt big time like that, that would be really difficult to keep coming back from, in my mind.
The amount of strength that he shows.
Because I broke a foot, and I'm not kidding you. I was playing tennis at Kent State because I played tennis there too. And I jumped up with no socks on and twisted. I went, oh, and you're not allowed to do that when you're playing base. And I went, oh, I'll be fine. I got up the next day and fell down. And it was a cast for 4 lousy weeks. And I acted like I had a body cast on. So I can't imagine what you were going through.
Yeah, injuries.
How long does that take to get? Oh, I mean, how long?
Your knee was a year.
My knee was about a year long recovery. the shoulder, they say it's about 6 months. It's a little longer.
Months where you can't do anything, or 6 months you can't snap off a. Throw you or what?
Well, I'm at four months now, and I'm swinging. I can play catch. I'm starting to get back into playing, doing more playing things. I'm able to lift and work out, but no variable of change. Case or errant throw or another collision. Wow. Can't dive into.
Well,
any
yeah, I would figure that, but that's.
Well, and we've all heard stories of people. You know, that were stopped by this or by that, or and like I said, to watch, you know, when he came as a junior in high school coming to me, because the normal thing that would have been said by me, by him, by his family, was, okay, you got a year, you're gonna sit. And we said, okay, well, that's only one part of your body. And then I would say the guy that, you know, I maybe inspired him a little bit, the guy that day to day stuck to the plan. Mike Phillips. I've seen a lot of kids work out. I've seen a lot of kids committed. Michael Phillips is one of the best trainers in the area, if not the best, as far as physical strength, speed, athletic.
If you want to find out if you're fast, go run with Coach Mike.
Yeah, go run with Mike Phillips. Mike Phillips was a defensive back. Defensive back at Pitt. Played with Larry Fitzgerald. He was from Harding. He was quarterback. Hall of Famer at Harding. So he knows what a big-time athlete looks like. And so then when we got to that, it was just amazing. I called Mike and I said, Mike, I said, you got to take this kid. I said, he banged up his knee, but everything else we have to pretend that that's just like he's got a mosquito bite and the rest is good. And that's what we did. And I remember Mike called me one day. He goes, it was very early in the process. He calls me and he goes, where'd you, he goes, obviously he knew his dad. And he goes, this kid's out of his mind. I go, what do you mean? He goes, he's out of his mind. I go, why? Mike has a gym in Cortland, down the road from Gino's house. And I'm just sitting there going, okay, great. I go, well, what's the issue? He goes, I gave him a key. He got, well, he hadn't given me, he was giving him a key. Mike would get there 5:30, 5:45. Gino's in the parking lot waiting for him before school. Heck, you can't get most high school kids even work out during school, after school, any part of the day. Gino's showing up before school, after school, doing 2-a-days. Changed his whole career, changed him as a man, as a person. And that type of energy, you can do anything you want. Whether it's learn a language, go be ahead of
anything.
Yeah. That you're going to go figure it out. And I don't know how many kids would have answered that bell. We seem to breed them a little bit at our place that way. If they were all Gino, I'd probably have 50 big leaguers. And this is obviously a little bit more of a somber thing, but it's also, we want our fans and our parents and the kids that listen, they need to hear reality. They need to hear that a lot of where you go and what you do is determined by what you want and how you're going to do it. Or are you just going to go through the motions? There's kids in Gino's recruiting class that were part of our building that have found some cockamamie ways to get out of playing college baseball.
Yep.
I'm not going to mention names, but it's crazy.
And a lot of kids got babies.
Everybody's got a story. Gino's story is, okay, I've been hurt twice, and I'm going to see what I'm going to do here. So what are you looking at with the future, G?
I'm looking to get back on the field and play a full season is what I'm looking to do.
There you go.
But, you know, I'm just taking it one day at a time.
But the portal thing really is advantageous to you now. Because the Power Fives and all these big, which, you know, moving in the game, they want 23, 24, 25. You know, so this, here we go. Stronger, bigger, faster for the level you're at now. And I know that, I know you told me that's the attitude you're taking. And you see that it's okay, what do I have to do to master the level I'm at now? And you know, we find, Tommy, me, Carl, we find that out at 40 or 50. You're finding it out at 20, 21, 22. It's highly advantageous, highly advantageous. Couldn't be proud of him, more proud of him. He's like my own. I love him. Tommy, you speak on this a little bit because I know you had your ups and downs. We got a couple more minutes and then.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes. Carl just gave me the finger.
He punched the clock.
Ups and downs are hard, but unless you, just like he said, unless you love the game, you'll find a bunch of different reasons. Listen, you'll always find a way to do what you love. And that's going to church, that's going to do something work or helping the homeless or whatever you're doing. If you love, you'll find a way. Or
fixing
you'll
a furnace.
Find a way to make an excuse to anything.
Fixing a furnace.
Yeah. So I appreciate that because a lot of young people today, they've been babied their whole
life. The first sign of hardship. You know, we had a kid, great player, All-State 3 times, made it 4 times, but got banged around a little bit his senior year, comes and plays with us. Plays 2 games, got a scholarship, didn't last a month in college, walked away. Haven't seen him, haven't talked to him, call him, don't hear nothing from it.
They found a girl or they found something else or whatever.
Absolutely. Carl, question today. Here it comes. I got a gut feeling he might stump me.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. All right, true or false again. A designated hitter is specifically prohibited from sitting in the bullpen unless serving as a bullpen catcher.
True.
Tom?
I have no clue.
It's true.
Well, because in America, it used to be because when you were lined up as a designated hitter, that was it.
Right.
You could not enter.
Yep.
Now, the problem being is if you got your second string catcher, you know, in the American League, now I think there's a derivation between the leagues in
where
an emergency.
The heck would you get a
My man is doing some work. I told him, I said, he's looking, dude. He's
going. If a guy wears red tennis shoes, is he allowed to sit in the bullpen with a catcher's mitt?
If he has a white glove, can he pitch in the game? Hey, if he has a white glove, can he pitch in the game? Because it hides the ball.
And stuff yellow like shoestrings.
It's only going to get better and bigger. Cool.
Well, thanks a lot, everybody. And you got some people to thank real quick, Jimmy.
Absolutely. Listen, thank you all. Like I said, this is a little different show than we normally have.
Yeah, but it's a good show.
Not all comedic banter, but, you know, we also got to deal in facts and what's really going on out there and educate people.
Because that's what we do, so this is the kind of thing we have to have.
First off, I'll say it real quick. Give us a call. 330-766-6790 at Diamond 9 at the Den. We have 3 scholarships left. We got somebody to sponsor 5. We had 2 real quick. We have 3. If you want to come for year 2, all you got to do is call me, and we'll get it figured out. equipment sale. You'll see. We're going to post that.
Get them for Christmas presents. If anybody needs last-minute
gifts, bats, gloves, high-end stuff, whatever you need, we got it. We want to thank Levy Steel and the Levy family. Gatta Trucking, as always. The Terzola Law Firm in Akron. Zuzulo and Zuzulo here, our local people. Cafe 422. They come on in the beginning. Candywood Wine Cellar. Del Gray, Pete Roberto. You know, obviously, Jesse DiGiacomo. And the Den and Howland Performance. All the people that helped us there. And the other one, I got to say it every week. The guy gave us a shot. Carl in 94.7.
Yeah, thanks, Carl.
Radio. You know, Tom, thanks, Carl.
Thanks,
but you're the best. Yeah, it's like, yeah.
And the Partridge family.
There you go. There you go. And like I said, we want to thank Gino for coming on and being a gentleman. And happy holidays to everybody, your families.
Yes.
Safety, happiness. Have a great time.
We'll be back before Christmas.
Yep. Everybody, you know, Carl, Tom, everybody.
Thank you.
And thanks for the support.